The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 6, Scene 12. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Susie Habenstock with BroadwayWorld.com.
I'm Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
And I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And we are thrilled to be with you, the first Curtain Call of this year and for many months when we can actually talk about two plays, actually review them. So first, we're going to talk about This Bitter Earth, which is playing at Richmond Triangle Players. It is live through the 20th. This is going to be airing on the 19th, so that Saturday the 20th will be the last performance. They will have streaming tickets available you can buy on the 20th, and they will be good to watch until the end of the month. The play itself is about a white man who's active in the Black Lives Matter protest, but he falls for a black man who's essentially apathetic about the whole movement.
Well, Jerry, I'm going to correct you. I think the play's about the black man and that the white man is his boyfriend who brings these questions up for him. And really, it's this black man sort of struggling with where is his place in this movement that he feels a part of, I think, in a different way than his boyfriend does.
What'd y'all think about the production?
I loved it.
I loved it as well.
I thought the production was great. I thought for all of the things that I loved about the story, I thought the script, to me, it felt a little bit like a draft. Like it maybe wasn't as fully developed as I would like, but I thought that the production brought that script to life on stage in spite of those issues.
Maybe I'm the only one in the group, but I just felt like the dialogue was almost always mundane or didactic. I felt like I was constantly being lectured to and given me information about all of these issues. And the relationship was just kind of, it was just okay. I really didn't think the play itself was very strong. And I think that was the biggest challenge with the show.
The greatest strength was these two actors and the relationship that they brought to the stage. I was really rooting for them the whole time.
A great interaction between the two.
Let me just interrupt real quickly and tell the audience who the two actors are. Evan Nasteff, who was in Richmond for years as an actor and went to LA for 4 years, and this is his first time back on stage. He plays the white lover, and Andrew Rue Reed, who is new in town, as far as I know, there was nothing in his bio, plays the black lover.
Well, I completely fell for Andrew Rue Reed as the actor and as the character. I mean, both just phenomenal as far as I was concerned. And kudos to the costume designer, who was Skylar Glazer, because he had a beige cardigan that he would wrap around himself. And it was, I don't know, it was perfection, just perfection.
The sweater was almost another character.
Mm-hmm. It was. So many of the details of the production were just lovely. The set design by Lucian Restivo. Alas, for us streamers, the sound quality at Triangle Players remains well below par.
Not professional, absolutely.
Barely passed for me. It got like maybe a D. I could sort of hear it most of the time. Beyond all that, the direction completely blew me away. And I thought it was a really great job. The director, Brandon Rashad Butts, was supported by both a movement director, Justin J. Bell, and an intimacy director, Raja Benz, both of whom I think did incredible supportive work to the director.
I thought a lot of the direction was very static. Granted, they just kind of stood there and talked a lot, except for the final moments. I thought every scene had the same pace and the dynamic. I thought nobody was terrible. I thought everybody was good. Admirable, I said, considering the play. I just didn't like it as much as y'all did, obviously.
I think if you end up, as I did, falling in love with one of the characters, it's very hard to be critical of anything else. The rest of it seemed very much to support my love of this guy.
Well, I can't wait to see Rue Reed again.
I can't wait to see everyone involved in this production again. I think it was a great success, and I'm excited to see what all of these folks are going to do.
Yeah, more from the playwright, more from the director as well.
Okay, we've been talking about This Bitter Earth, which is at Richmond Triangle Players through February 20th. Now we're going to go just down the street a little bit to Firehouse Theater, where we're going to talk about Crap's Last Tape, which is playing at Firehouse also till the 20th. And their final stream performance will be on the 19th only. And they live stream. It is not a pre-recorded show. So the 19th will be the only night left to see that streamed. This is a minimalist masterpiece by Samuel Beckett about a wizened old man who listens to a tape recording he made when he was 39. Then he records one final message. And by the way, the one actor in this is Alan Sater, who many people will know in town from many roles that he's done. Of course, he's been on television a lot too. I thought he was incredible in this.
I just have to say, in this show, Alan Sater is crap.
Very good. They should use that line. He was brilliant as crap. It's interesting because even when he did King Lear a couple of seasons ago at Quill, I still saw Alan Sater in the role. But in this show, he was a totally new character. He was sadly funny, sweetly touching. And we have to say, and I'm sure you'll all agree, the first 30 minutes, there's not a word spoken. He just grunts around the stage and coughs a lot. I hope his lungs are okay after all that coughing. But it's quietly hilarious. Every stumble, every slip was brilliant.
It's so funny.
Okay, but that's what took away its minimalist cred as far as I'm concerned. That's a half hour interpolated by James Ricks, the director.
But that's in the script. I mean, that's...
No, it's not. I read it yesterday.
Oh, really?
It's not.
Oh, really? Oh. It's not.
That's a revelation. Because I loved his dancing duets with that moving staircase.
You know, in my mind, that was a clown show that they devised. It was very effective, but if you're looking for minimalism, that ain't it.
No, that's like a very valid complaint. I just enjoyed it. I think you're right. I think it does make it, minimalism isn't the right word anymore, but we can still call it absurd. And I think that on that front, the 30 minutes before we got a word out were absolutely on point. It was funny. I was in the theater and I kept laughing out loud, laughing. I felt sometimes like I was the only person laughing out loud.
I was laughing at home.
Thank you, Jerry. And I thought you'd tell me something about Vietnam. I don't know, my voice being loud or something.
Could you hear her laughing?
No, I didn't actually. That's because they had their mic on the stage. So
yeah,
just to mention that quickly, it was professionally, the cameras were better quality and the sound was perfect. I have to agree. I think James Ricks, the director, every movement was meticulously choreographed, often very humorous. And each movement was masterfully created. I thought it was richly theatrical. And I really enjoyed the show all the way around. I said that it actually is a landmark in local theater because this production was so memorable and special. What did y'all think since I've raved on here?
I loved it.
I certainly thought that that first half hour that they created, it was like a clown show. It was like maybe watching the two clowns from Waiting for Godot. You know, if you wanted to whip up sympathy for this character, if you wanted to whip up tension and suspense about whether he was going to be able to reach the things he dropped on the floor and whether he was going to be able to stand up again, wow, they created it.
Alan would lean a certain way that, you know, seemed unnatural for his body and felt a little bit like I'd say, like a cartoon character. Maybe not minimalist from a production standpoint, but minimalist from a language standpoint. Mm. How much was conveyed without clear dialogue, without complete sentences, with these big pauses. In that way, it's absolutely minimalist and super effective. I thought this was quite the work of art that I got to go see.
Every moment was very funny. And then it got very touching by the end. And even though you weren't even sure what the whole story was, you still got enough out of the emotion to appreciate what was happening and how he felt.
And again, Alan was just so amazing in conveying so much with his face and his posture. Even when the dialogue came in, most of it was on the tape. And he's listening to himself, his younger self, and reacting to that in a way that was just totally artistic and unique.
I love the scenic design by Todd LaBelle, just stacks of minimalist modern file cabinets lit in a dramatic way that I thought made a perfect backdrop.
It's so good to be able to see some live theater again. It's interesting that the two pieces that were available this particular month were both pieces that were very serious and introspective, almost as if they had been designed specifically for a pandemic.
I'll have to say, though, Craps was very funny. I actually had a friend of mine who emailed me today who'd recently had a loss, and she was like, do you think I should see this? You know, there are some heavy moments, but it's very funny and it's brilliantly done. So I would encourage people not to be scared away by the fact that it's Samuel Beckett or by the fact that it's a one-man show. It is a brilliant production and it's beautifully realized.
I agree.
I also agree.
Ditto, ditto.
All righty. We have been talking about Craps Last Tape, which is a production of Firehouse Theater through February 20th with a final live streaming production on the 19th. And it is live. So if you want to get tickets, you need to get them basically tonight. Thank you all. It was great to hear from you. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
Susie Havenstock with BroadwayWorld.com.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with some more interesting content.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.